and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by my friend Ava.
Thank you for having me. Sorry, I'm really happy to be here and excited.
I am excited to have you because we have watched a film that I have just been desperate to A, review, but also B, I knew it would be up your alley and I really was excited to hear what you thought about it. So to let you know, get you in on it straight away, it is Interview with the Vampire. It is from 1994. It is directed by Neil Jordan and it is a banger. What did you think?
Look, I'm surprised because I'm very familiar with vampire culture, vampire literature, vampire lore. Massive Buffy fan here, love Preacher. I'm watching What We Do in the Shadows at the moment and I knew absolutely nothing about this film. And it's been out since 1994 and somehow up until 2020, I have managed to learn nothing about this film except for the fact that it stars Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, and Kirsten Dunst. And that's it. It's never been spoiled like The Sixth Sense was spoiled for me.
Oh.
And various other movies. But yeah. So I was confused by the tone of the movie. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that later. But I really liked it. I can see why it was popular at the time. I can see why it was the new retelling of the vampire story. And yeah, I can see why it started this whole sexy vampire thing that has continued on until like right up until True Blood and Twilight and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess, I mean, I love vampire things, but I can't say that I'm that well versed in vampire lore or anything. Like, I think of most vampire things and what I think of would be things that I've watched growing up. So I remember I was obsessed with Nosferatu. I like Dracula, like Bela Lugosi's Dracula. But then I was really into Underworld and that kind of really sexy modern leather wearing vampire. So a lot of the in-between I don't know a lot about. So this kind of feels like it fills the gap for me, like that kind of old-fashioned, like that really classic vampire, but with a more of a sexy twist, which I guess is what Anne Rice's books kind of were, I guess. Haven't read them yet. I will get to them eventually. But for now, let's discuss Interview with the Vampire, the Vampire Chronicles. Is that what it was?
Well,
keep forgetting the second bit of the title.
Let's just start off with, this was another point of contention as well. I have been calling this film Interview with a Vampire my whole life. Interview with a Vampire. Interview with a Vampire. That just rolls off my tongue. It's Interview with the Vampire. And if you Google this, you will see that other people call it Interview with a Vampire. Also, The Vampire Chronicles?
Mm.
Didn't know that was part of the title of the movie.
Were they going to make more of them? I actually don't know. And I also feel like Interview with the Vampire implies that there's only one vampire with a vampire. So I think that's why most people get it wrong with A, because the movie's full of vampires, so it's not just one, the vampire.
Exactly. Yeah. But where do we start?
So let's start off with how the movie begins, which is in modern day San Francisco, and it gives us the title. It's basically Brad Pitt's character, who is Louis. He is being interviewed by a young journalist named Malloy, was played by Christian Slater. And apparently Christian Slater's character was like following Louis, and Louis sort of lured him into this little apartment as if to feast on him, but then decided and said he wanted to give an interview and talk about being a vampire. And first Malloy's like, ha, you really believe that you're a vampire? But by the end of it, obviously, he starts to feel a bit differently. But we actually get to hear Louis' story from the very beginning, which starts, you know, he's like, do you want to hear like my birth, my mum, blah, blah, blah? Or do you want to hear about the day that I was born into darkness? I'm like, here we go, bloody Louis.
Dramatic from the beginning.
Louis is a very dramatic boy throughout this entire movie. We'll talk a little bit about why Brad Pitt played the character the way he did. But it starts in 1791 and Louis is 24 years old. He is a slave owner. He lives on a plantation. And so that's another thing that immediately, because I only watched this like for the first time a couple years ago and immediately got like, I don't like you. You're a slaveholder. Like, slave owner, I don't like you. So he didn't start off well in my books, to be honest.
And I honestly was not expecting that. I thought it would be like set in England and he would be a gentleman or something like that.
Yeah, no, New Orleans slave owner in a big plantation home. Mm. Beautiful home, but you know, all that terrible history. Basically, he has lost the will to live because his wife and child died.
Yeah.
From the plague or something.
Well, they don't really even talk about it. So, and it says his unborn child.
Oh.
So I just assumed maybe died during childbirth.
Yeah.
That's exactly where my mind went. And so he's in mourning, getting drunk, hanging out at the tavern with sex workers and just basically being morose.
Just, yeah, the Mobius boy, like, he's playing cards and he wins, and the guy he's playing against thinks he's cheating and goes to shoot him, and he just opens up his shirt to show his chest and goes, just do it here. Like,
kill me already. I'm in so much pain.
It's like, you know, dude, like, if you are that way, like, maybe don't get other people to kill, like, trying to get other people to kill you publicly. Mm. Maybe just, anyway. But he is basically saved by Lestat de Liancourt, who was played by the effervescent Tom Cruise, in what I would describe as one of the best portrayals of a vampire ever. It's one of those things where everyone was like, how did you choose Tom Cruise? He is so wrong for this role. And then he played it and everyone went, oh, well, I will eat my words because I was wrong.
Anne Rice was so disgusted by the choice, and Anne Rice wrote the original book. And I think she wrote that quite a while ago because it took about 20 years for the movie to actually be made from the book to that. She was so disgusted by Tom Cruise being picked that she basically didn't want anything to do with the production and ended up actually apologizing to him after she saw the first copy of the film.
Yeah, she took out like a full page advert to say, and was I'm like, so wow, sorry.
It was amazing. She gave him a personal phone call as well. So, but you're right. He doesn't scream like sexual vampire to me at all. But yeah, his character is amazing in this.
So he saves Louis. So Louis, you know, wandered off with a sex worker and the pimp's following. And then I don't know if it's actually the pimp who tries to mug him.
I thought it was the pimp. I thought it was a setup.
Yeah.
Like, wander down here and the we'll pimp follows and we'll take the money. And yeah, Louis just sweeps in. Lestat. The beautiful Lestat just sweeps in and saves the day, basically.
And also bites him right in the neck. A very grand display of how much of a vampire he is, because as he's sucking on his neck, he's actually there floating up in the air. And he whispers sweet nothings in his ear, and it's a very sexy scene. Like, we're going to talk about the homoeroticness of this movie and things, which is funny, just after doing Top Gun, we're going to do another homoeroteric movie. But yeah, he whispers sweet nothings and basically says, I'm going to give you the choice that I never had, and then drops him into the water. Louis wakes up in the water, I guess, and kind of stumbles out and is like, what the hell? Like half alive, half dead, apparently.
Yeah.
Goes home and is like wailing around in his bed. And then Lestat comes and visits him.
Yeah, basically just appears, you know, out of nowhere. And of course, again, another beautiful, sexy scene, because Brad Pitt is laying there slightly sick, top unbuttoned. Lestat appears, sheer curtains, wandering.
Running his hands over them.
Exactly, sort of seducing him and saying, hey, you know, what we talked about the other night, have you decided, you know, life isn't worth living anymore and I can help you, I can show you something better, but the choice is yours. And you'll hear that phrase common, he kept saying over and over, I was not given a choice. And I found that really, really interesting, because I think that was really something very important, like,
although
in his past.
But I would also argue he hasn't given him much of a choice, because it's basically at this point, Louis either has to die or become a vampire. Like, didn't give him a third choice, which is just live, even though he was a big mopey jerk. Like, he didn't give him that choice, so he kind of took some of the choice away, but more of a choice than he had, which I guess is what's important for Lestat. So I think he bites his neck and...
Well, no, first Louis decides that he's going to watch his final sunset.
Oh, that's it, yes.
Which is actually quite a beautiful scene. Brad Pitt looks very stunning in this scene. This is probably the only scene in the movie where I'm like, you are tolerable to look at. You're not being mopey. But yeah, that's another running thing. He gets to watch his final sunset and then decides to go to his wife's tomb. I'm assuming tomb/statue to meet Lestat to decide to do the turn.
Yes. As he's biting his neck, asks him, do you want to do it? And he's like, yes.
And they go straight into it. So this is a bit that shocked me. It wasn't just like, okay, so are you ready for this? Yes, I'm ready. Okay, we're going to do it. It was more just like, are you ready to do this? And bite.
Done.
So in vampire culture, this is called siring. So Lestat sires Louis. And to sire a vampire, basically, they have to drink you almost to death. Well, pretty much to death. But then for you to turn into a vampire, you need to then drink the vampire's blood or taste some of the vampire's blood. Now, I was expecting here Louis, Brad Pitt's character, to then suck on Tom Cruise's character's neck.
No.
Didn't happen.
Just some sultry wrist action.
It was pretty hot though.
Yeah, it was. So one thing, because this is 1994, we have to remember, and this movie is very sexy, and there's lots of, like, the fact they're in a gay relationship is insinuated to the point where it's indisputable, but I think they had to, and this is a point I was going to make later, but I'll make it now. Anne Rice was actually really concerned concerned about how this movie was going to be perceived because it is super gay. And she actually suggested that Louis' character be recast as a woman. And they're like, no, I think we can toe the line. And she was shocked that they actually allowed it because it was the 90s mm-hmm. and it was a big production studio. And yeah, they still decided to keep him two blokes. Yeah. So, but then obviously to counter that, they had to tone down some of the, so instead of Lestat sucks on Louis' neck, you're like, oh, and then you think it's going to be reciprocated. But no, he just sucks on Lestat's wrist. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, but it's not quite there. But yeah. I get why, given it as 1994.
Exactly.
And basically, old mate's now a vampire.
Mm.
Good on him. And he does not like it for 1 minute. Not from the minute he saw it to the end of the movie, he just bitches and moans the whole time. We're evil, we're things of the devil, and blah, blah, blah.
It's so disappointing because, like, you get this amazing opportunity to be a vampire and he just complains. He mm-hmm. just complains the entire film. Yeah, it makes him incredibly unlikable. And, yeah, I just hated every single moment that Brad Pitt was on screen.
Yeah, like, and Brad Pitt is such a even his beauty in this, you're just kind of like, oh god, the whining coming out of his mouth. Lestat has lots to teach Louis about being a vampire. Like, they go to a tavern and they're drinking and having a nice time with this beautiful barmaid who's like telling him about the wine, and Lestat's like, I imagine your lips taste even sweeter, and she's like, oh, they do, and then he ends up sucking her blood, and he tries to get Louis to do it. Louis does a little bit, not thinking, and then killing her, and Louis is like, oh, the torment, I can't believe we did it. But that woman died very happily, like,
yeah.
She obviously didn't want to die, but I know, it's a very sexy scene where Lestat is sucking on her wrist, and Louis is pashing her, and there's blood everywhere, and oh boy. If I have to go out, yeah. There's one way. I'm going
to
take.
We were saying, if you had to be the actress that was cast in that scene, oh, and it boy. Was like, oh, today on set, you're going to have to sit between Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise and they're going to suck on you. You know what?
And we're also going to pay you money to do this.
No worries. No worries.
It's like, oh, it's a tough job, but someone's going to do it, I guess. It's an ongoing thing where Louis keeps wigging out about this idea of having to kill people, and Lestat's kind of like, this is the thing of being a vampire. You have to do it, so have fun doing it. And he also teaches him a trick about sucking. You can drink the blood of animals if you must. Really good hint when you're in a boat. You don't want to raise attention to yourself. You can live off rats. It sucks. It's not really living, but it is surviving. So he teaches him that. Louis just can't do it. Like, they go to a really beautiful exotic party in New Orleans where they target this rich socialite woman and her two poodles, and she has her servants, like this very foppish boy whose makeup is beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Very, like, almost like too modern. Like, it was just like he had
James,
like,
Charles.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And so they separate them, and this woman's much older, and the way that, like, Lestat's still trying to find justification so Louis won't feel so bad is, like, apparently her husband died and she blamed a slave. So you can imagine what happened to the slave. And so he's like, you know, she's shit to her slave. So
yeah, and she's a bad person. And he also said that evil blood tastes better.
Oh.
Yes. So
I missed that. Yeah. That's so fair. Delicious, evil,
I think he might have just made that part up, but, you know, why not? Why not? Just, you know, he's trying really hard to work with Louis here.
He's not a great teacher. He's kind of, because he's very immediately impatient, but I would be too if I had to put up with that much whining, to be honest. So they separate them, and Louis has the old woman, and he goes to bite her neck and chickens out. And the poodle, she's got these two white poodles with their little tiny poodly haircuts because they're teeny tiny little teacup poodles. And he decides he's going to kill the poodles instead. I'm like, I think that killing that woman is much less immoral than those poor sweet poodles who did nothing wrong. And Lestat hears her screams and her screaming because he's killed her freaking poodles and has to go and snap her neck. So if he just, those poodles could have lived, and that horrible woman was going to die anyway. So bloody hell, Louis. Bloody hell. And the foppish boy gets killed too, obviously. Yeah. Lestat has a nice time. Yeah.
They do get into a fight here, which I really, really liked. And it had vampire qualities with sort of, you know, you got to see a bit of Louis' super strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start to see that as Louis gets more into becoming a vampire, he's starting to grow different, I guess, vampire abilities. And you learn that along the way, that different vampires, depending on how long that they've been a vampire, acquire different, I guess, skills. So when they attended at a party originally, Lestat says to Louis, oh, read her mind. And Louis doesn't know how to read minds yet. So that, yeah, I thought that was really, really interesting. It's like, oh, okay, so Louis starting to get strong. They don't touch on that ever again, but
no,
you saw it in that fight scene.
Yeah, but it's a very good fight scene because they're yelling at each other and then Louis charges at, so Lestat's furious and then Louis charges at him and like runs and really fast and holds him up against a tree and then Lestat starts laughing. It's one of my favorite things about Tom Cruise is Lestat just laughing as he's being held up in a tree because seeing him become enraged and he's like, yes, embrace it, embrace what you've become. But Louis never does, as of course. We also, during this movie, we cut back to the interview occasionally, and I think there's this point where we cut back and Malloy is asking about stereotypes about vampires. So what are the ones that garlic isn't true, stake the heart isn't true.
Crucifixes, he likes looking at crucifixes.
Of course you bloody do, Louis.
Yeah.
But the coffin one is the one that is actually true. Like they have to sleep in coffin. I think you can just sleep in anything dark, really, but it's much sexier to sleep in a beautiful padded coffin, I guess. And I think is that where he makes a reference to Bram Stoker? It's like a drunk Irishman.
Yeah, he said, I think because they touch on this again later about stereotypes, but he said later when they talk about Transylvania like that. But basically they do make a little nod to Bram Stoker and something about the stories of a drunk Irishman. And I was like, oh, I wonder who that's about. But you informed me, yes.
Bram Stoker. So yeah, apparently most of the things, according to the lore of this particular movie/books, is that a lot of it was created by Bram Stoker and it isn't true. But then the coffin thing is, but anyway. This is the part where we kind of realised why Lestat chose Louis, because they're in fabulous plantation home and Lestat keeps referring to it as theirs. So I think Lestat obviously picks companions that are going to be beneficial for him because you can't really, unless you're stealing, it's hard to acquire money and resources. So he's just chosen someone who has those things already.
And I never thought about that. And it totally makes sense to pick, I guess, someone who doesn't have family, you know, so he is living in this glorious like plantation mansion all by himself.
Yeah.
And I know that everyone keeps saying that homoerotic, you know, that they're gay and stuff, but I always saw it as more Lestat just wanted a wingman, someone to go out on the town and prowl with and a companion. But I guess maybe, yeah, I just never saw like the romance element. I think he was definitely attracted to him because of, you know, he was different, I guess, to other men, and he wanted to sort of get in touch with the modern world because Lestat's been around for a very, very long time. So you pick a companion because you want to stay cutting edge, I guess.
Yeah.
But definitely picking someone that has a home, a nice home.
Well, I think Lestat did choose him for practical reasons, but then they kind of fell into a relationship sort of style.
Yeah.
Living arrangements as a which we'll come to.
We'll come back to.
So obviously he has all these slaves, and the stereotype of Black Americans is that they're all into voodoo. So you see them, they've started to figure out something's wrong because all the chickens are dying because Louis won't eat humans. He'll only eat animals. So he kills all the chickens and everything.
And Lestat is obviously eating slaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, find some slave bodies and everything. So, and also their the main servant, who is Yvette, which is played by Tandy Newton, which is just a couple of years before, 6 years before, she is the co-star of Mission Impossible 2 with Tom Cruise. Yeah. She's the main servant, and she sees that they're never eating food. Like, they bring out all this beautiful food every night and they just sit there and don't eat it. And yeah, so they're all becoming sus, and you see them doing like a voodoo doll and everything, and they obviously getting ready to storm the house and confront whatever evil lurks within. And Louis and Lestat have another fight. I can't even remember what this one is about.
Oh, you know, this is the classic Lestat. I want to go out and party.
Oh yeah, I want to go out. Let's go out into town and party. Yeah. I'm so bored.
And Louis's like, no, I don't want to.
I want to sulk.
Yeah.
So Louis, Lestat storms off and like goes and glares at all the slaves, like, how dare you think we're weird when we're being weird all the time.
Let me ride my horse through your fire
and then look at you condescendingly. Like, you're not helping yourself. Fucking hell, Lestat. yeah, Yvette comes and is like, we're worried about you.
We hate your friend.
Yeah, your friend needs to go. He's really gross, but we're also really worried about you. And he ends up having a nibble on her wrist and she freaks out and then he has to kill her. Mm-hmm. And then he takes her out and all this, as the slaves are charging up to confront the master, he comes out holding Yvette and is like, evil lives in this house. And then he is the one who grabs one of the torches and just starts setting his own house on fire, which is because the furniture and the beautiful things in there, like, I know they're just props and everything, but
it was
like,
devastating.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
Yeah.
And he sets it all on fire, like he sets fire to the portrait of his wife and everything, because mm-hmm. he's just like, obviously he wants to go down in the fire as well.
We're assuming this is him trying to kill himself and rid evil, and he's feeling bad. And
but of course Lestat comes, like, proper hero entrance, smashes through the window and rescues him, and like, but of course starts scolding him again. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is, which is where we realize, like, all our fucking stuff, like, what do you want us to do? Yeah, they have some more fights.
They end up staying basically in a disgusting crypt after this.
Yeah, because the house is burnt down. He's like, oh, wakes up, where are we? He says, we're in a tomb. Where the fuck do you think we are? And it's actually a really good picture, like a really good shot of Lestat just like sitting there looking furious. And I use that picture a lot for a lot of things, like, and then the GIF as well. And in his beautiful blue Lestat suit. Yeah, so they're now going, they're kind of just going through like all this. It's just constantly Lestat trying to teach Louis what to do. So they like, they get two more sex workers and they're in, I think they're staying in New Orleans properly now in this beautiful apartment. And these two beautiful women who have been brought back, Lestat kills one of them, sucking her blood. And the other one is just super into it. Like, and also Tom Cruise's butt in this bit, because he's wearing velvet pants. And we're commenting on like people who say that Tom Cruise wore like a fake butt in Valkyrie, which I think they're like, oh, here's a stunt butt.
No.
Like, he didn't need a stunt butt in this. And you can see that man, like, does his squats. Like,
yeah. As someone that doesn't watch Tom Cruise films, like, that was instantly, I was just like, oh, okay, what's going on there? Like,
yeah, apparently it is.
Pleasant to the eye.
Really good butt. So she's fully into it. And he jokes about how the other one, the other girl, has succumbed to the wine and everything when he's actually killed her. And she's like, don't worry, I won't do that. And he's like, nice. Bites from the boob. And then she's like writhing in ecstasy, then goes, oh, fuck, I'm covered in blood. Mm-hmm. And so because Louis won't play game and just like, just kill her, just end it, Lestat's trying to teach him a lesson. So like prolongs this poor girl's misery. And she's like, I don't want to die. And he's like, oh, and he flips this lid off the table, which turns out to be a coffin. And he just puts her in there. And she's like, oh, it's a coffin, and then just locks her in there and is just like just sitting on it and just being a complete asshole to this poor girl. But it's to try and make Louis stop being a fucking big whiny baby, and doesn't work. So Lestat just ends up killing her, and Louis has not learned. Like, he even like drains some blood for her and says, just pretend it's wine, and Louis won't. He's like, smashes it out of her hand. Like, she's going to die anyway, Louis, just fucking feed yourself.
Exactly. Accept who you are.
Yeah, like it's, I know you didn't technically have a you kind of were given a choice and you chose badly. So you either suck it up, or I don't know, go fucking stand out in the daylight one day. Like,
yeah, like,
I don't understand the whining.
At every point of this, before, when he was mortal and he was suffering and woe is me, my wife and child is dead, end it then.
Yeah.
Now as a vampire, oh, woe is me, I hate being a vampire. Go see your sunrise again.
Yeah.
Please, go see your sunrise.
Blessed, like, sunrise. Like,
Just stop. Like, please stop.
It's intense.
But yeah, he's obviously over this, so he decides that he can't handle being around Lestat at the moment. And runs off.
Yeah, one runs off, and he's walking up these muddy streets, and, you know, some peasant type person is like, don't go up there, sir, it's a plague. And Louis's like, whatever, I don't care. Yeah, dramatic.
That's where I belong, because life is pain.
This is like the 1700s version of put me in the bin. It's like, put me in the plague streets.
Which is actually quite fitting right now.
Yeah.
Oh, in the times we live in.
Put me in the plague streets. Yeah. So he's wandering along, and then he actually encounters this beautifully tiny young peasant girl who was sobbing. Her mother has died from the plague, and she's holding her gross, blistery, rotting hand. And
disgusting.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Like, we actually pan up and see the mum's face and like the eyes missing and the maggots and everything. I'm like, yes, amazing special effects. Yeah. Practical effects. Yeah. And he comforts her, and then he's overcome like with hunger and everything. So he decides to feast her, because he's like, well, she's she's, what are you going to do? She's an orphan, blah, blah, blah. And just as he's doing that, Lestat comes and is like, ha, I caught you. I win. And which obviously makes Louis freak out and goes, ha, and runs away.
Yeah.
Thinking he's killed this child. But he hasn't because, well, he goes off and, you know,
eats his rats again.
Yeah, Lestat just has to follow a trail of rats. And he always fucking find Louis at the end of this trail of rats. And he's like, I have a gift for you. Come back with me. Comes back and this girl is lying in the bed. She's half dead. Like, she's almost dead, but she's still alive. Lestat saved her. And he's like, okay, well, you've got a choice. You can end it, or if you, because you feel so bad, you can turn her into a vampire. You know, it's your choice. And Louis, with his big bleeding heart, obviously chooses to turn her because he doesn't want her to die, which is not really the sensible choice. But anyway, he does. He turns her and they name her Claudia. And as she, you know, you die before you become a vampire, your mortal death, and then you become a vampire. And as soon as you become a vampire in this, you become immediately beautiful. So like her dank hair all becomes beautiful, luscious curls. Oh, and by the way, she's played by Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. Who was very young at the time.
Very young. She was like 12
maybe.
And she looks even younger than that. Yeah. So, yeah. And like,
she looks stunning.
And like, phenomenal acting for a child. Like, no child should be that. Because she is just immediately into the vampire life. Like, she gets turned and she, like, nearly sucks Lestat dry. And Lestat pulls her away and she's like, I want more. All she wants is to suck blood. They call their maid in and sucks her blood. She's like, delicious. I want more. It's like, okay, you need to. Teaches her first lesson. Stop sucking blood.
Just before their heart stops.
Yeah, just before the heart stops. Otherwise, you will be poisoned, I guess, if you drink dead blood.
Yeah. So this is an interesting sort of rule that suddenly gets introduced. Basically, drinking dead blood isn't good for you. Mm. So you need to stop just before you.
But you think, like, even if the heart stopped, that's still fresh blood. Like, it's only when it. Anyway.
You know, we don't argue these things.
Maybe it's too risky, so they just, like.
Yeah.
Once you feel the heart stop, you know.
It's like pulling out.
It's exactly like pulling out.
It's risky, but, you know, you take that chance and hope for the best.
You'll pull out a little bit earlier than you expect. Yes, that's a very good analogy. Mm.
But you can tell straight away that Lestat is instantly enamored with Claudia because unlike Louis, who he's just spent, like, we don't know how long by this stage, she's just picking it up. She loves it. She is into the hunt of it. She is embracing vampire lifestyle. You know, she's happy to go out and hunt and, she has just no fully, hesitation. Yeah. She teams up with him. They double hunt together.
They do something like she pretend to be this little sad girl sitting on a park bench, and you know, a wealthy older lady comes and comforts her, and then they get her, and you see Lestat in the background, like, almost doing, like, the Mr. Burns finger thing in the background. Mm. Like, yes. And they dote on her completely. They buy her beautiful dresses and dolls, and she's just living her best life, except a lot of time is passing, and she starts to realize that she is never going to get old. So she actually, I think it's been 30 years since she has turned. Mm. And they sort of rush through that, and they, you know, they're wearing different, more modern clothes, early 1800s kind of thing. And she sees this beautiful woman changing, and they can just see her through a crack in the window, her nude body. And she's like, I want to look like that. Why can't I ever look like that? And she kind of realizes, oh, I've matured mentally, but my body never will, and it sucks. And so she throws some big, massive tantrums. Fair enough. Like, it's kind of rotten. And she throws tantrums. She's like, I hate you both. Like, she assumes that Lestat was the one that turned her when it was actually technically both of them. Oh yeah, she's like throwing a tantrum because Lestat brings her a doll every year of her rebirth. Birthday. She's like, I don't need another doll. And he's like, you should throw out some of your old teddy dolls. She's like, I'll throw them all out, and starts chucking them. And meanwhile, there's a corpse under all her dolls in the bed, which was the sexy lady, like, rotting.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she's already been in trouble. She killed, like, her piano teacher. She killed all her seamstresses. She's just, like, not in the house. Yeah, so there's a big fight between them all, and she's like, this is fucked, I hate it, and I hate my hair. So she cuts off her beautiful, long, curly hair. Problem is, when you're a vampire, it just grows straight back. It's kind of like, I guess, because it's an extension of you, like, you heal really quickly. So, which, this is a question I've always. So if I got turned into a vampire now, what happens to my hair?
It stays exactly the same, so that
But more beautiful.
Yeah.
So the color would be vibrant. But does it go by nat? Would it be this color hair?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming. Maybe it'll go to what my
Yeah, actually, because
turn
that's
into
not
my
the,
natural hair color, which I don't want. It's boring brown.
No.
So I'd like to think that it would just become what I've got now and just more effervescent.
Damn, I didn't think about that.
Mm, that's something I've wondered. Like,
because I am sitting here with pink hair right now, so my natural hair color is black. Wow.
Yeah, something I've thought about a few times. Yeah. So what happens? And like, do you stay the same body shape and everything, or do you become like the idolized, like an idol?
I would hope so. I would hope you become the, like, ideal
A very
version.
Svelte fit version.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I just turned a vampire, but like, okay, I'm healthy, but I'm also, like, really tired all the time. Like,
It's like you were just stuck as me, as a 35-year-old
me
woman.
Me a little bit prettier. Like, I guess that's okay.
Also, we learn in vampire lore that when they did turn her, that you're not supposed to turn someone that young as well.
Which turns out it's obvious because now she's never going to mature and she's going to fucking hate her life.
Exactly.
And yeah, and then, you know, when you're maturing like that mentally, but your body hasn't, and you want to go...
Well, I'm assuming have sex.
Have some good sexy times. Like, yeah, you can't. Like, yeah. Well, you mean you can, but it's kind of fucked.
Yeah, so. it opens up a whole Pandora's box there. But yeah, that didn't dawn on me either, why that would be a perfectly good reason why in vampire culture you wouldn't turn a child, because there would be stuck a child forever. So ideally, drinking age is the age that you want to be turned.
Sense. Who wouldn't want to be 18 for the rest of their lives? Yeah. Like, not mentally, because that's a fucked time for everyone, but physically. Yeah, like I mean, my 18-year-old self. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I could just go running whenever I wanted.
It would just be amazing.
She throws a tantrum. I think she storms off at one point, and Louis goes to comfort her. Lestat's just about had enough of her bullshit, so he's nowhere to be seen. And she demands to know who turned me, what happened. So he actually takes her back to where he found her and explains what happened. Yeah, I bit you. I nearly killed you, and it was Lestat who brought you back. So it was both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she's appalled, but she's prepared to forgive you, but I can't forgive Lestat. So let's come up with a scheme to fuck him off, shall we?
Yeah.
And so she does. So her scheme, which is very clever and very naughty, he's dramatically playing piano, and he's like, "Ugh, you again. I'm so sick of you." And she's like, I want to call a truce. I don't like, you know, what's happening with us. I've brought you a present." And he's like, "I hope it's a beautiful, sexy woman with who's endowed in ways you never will be." And like, Lestat, come on.
So harsh. So harsh.
So mean. She's like, "Oh."
But then you do see that moment where she's just like, "Wow, that was mean," and he's kind of like, I know.
I'm a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Her trick is she's brought these two young twin boys who are, you know, rosy-cheeked, curly blonde hair, very sweet-looking. They're both angelically fallen asleep. And she says, "I've bought these for you. Don't worry." Just gave them a thimble of wine. They've fallen, passed out drunk. "I'll get rid of the bodies. This is my present to you. Enjoy." Mm-hmm. And he starts licking their blood. But she actually poisoned the children. I actually looked it up. It was laudanum.
Yeah.
Which is a type of, like, opium, basically. And I don't know how true this is, but in the story it basically kills them, but it keeps their blood warm.
Yeah.
So when he's sucking the blood at first, he's like, "Delicious warm blood," and he's like, "Hang on a minute, this tastes like shit," and realizes that he's drunk blood. So it must just weaken you and really must be super, like, bad, like food poisoning, I guess, for
That's
a human.
Because he asks to be returned to his coffin. So we figured out that, you know, you drink the dead blood, you just need to sleep it off.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily kill you straight away, but it definitely weakens you, and this is when Claudia takes her chance to slit his throat.
Excellent throat slitting scene, yeah.
So beautiful, so beautiful. This is when Louis walks in and is just like, "Oh my God. What is going on here?
I thought we were just talking about this."
Yeah, I thought this was just a discussion we were having. I didn't think you were going to kill Lestat.
It's a pretty epic way where he, like, is losing all his blood, and, like, she, because they can't touch the blood, I don't know, would the blood fuck him up or something? Like, the blood punch him in the face because it's his blood, but they're, like, avoiding the blood.
No, I think she was just wearing silk shoes.
Ah, the silk shoe, yeah, it's probably.
She just didn't want her to get her shoes. No, I get that. Yeah. She was like, "Pick me up. I don't want my shoes to get dirty."
He just, all his blood drains out. So, and it's, if you watch, like, the making of, they do, like, how they did the practical effects of that. It's so cool. And it sucks all his blood out, and so he's all withered and just passes out. Dead, not dead, but he's in the worst possible shape that you can possibly be as a vampire. Louis is a little bit distraught, but Claudia is just like, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to burn him. We're going to chop him up. The swamp.
Yeah.
They take him to the swamp and just chuck him in. There's an alligator there who starts coming for him. And, like, you see, like, bubbles and blood pouring up. So you're like, I guess he's alligator food now.
Yeah. Happy and, days.
Yeah, they go back home. They're like, all right, let's go to Europe. Let's go be fancy.
Mm. Back to the old country.
Yes. You know, they're another thing we were very upset about. They're about to release their two pet birds. And we very hope that they actually got released. We think there's enough time that they got released.
Yeah.
Because Louis hears a doorbell, goes downstairs to answer it, and there's no one there. And he's like, I don't know, who knew you pranking back in the early 1800s was actually a thing. And I imagine like little ragamuffins going around ringing bells and running off.
100%. I would be doing that.
Just a ragamuffin running down the street. These little poor boy hat. it's actually Lestat. Lestat pounces. He is looking terrible, like a zombie, but he pounces. Louis gets away, closes the door, runs upstairs, but Lestat still has these very, very zoomy powers. Oh, we forgot to mention at the start. That's how Louis proves that he's a vampire to Malloy, the journalist, by doing his zoomy, weird, quick thing. It, like, turns the light off and is already across the room in two seconds. But we figure Louis hasn't developed this skill yet because he just runs normally up the stairs and grabs Claudia along the way, whereas Lestat is immediately upstairs playing the piano really dramatically, looking like the most handsome corpsey bloody zombie you've ever seen, and playing the piano, lecturing them and being how naughty they were and how dare they scheme.
Basically explaining that he ate the alligator and that gave him some of his strength back, and then he fed on some other cretins of the swamp and that gained more of his strength back, and he made his way here. And
I wonder how much time actually passed.
Well, because they did have to, they decided to book their tickets to the old country, pack up the house.
So it must have been, because the house is all packed up, so it'd been a few days at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so he's looking terrible, but he's managed to suck enough frog's blood, I guess, to get there and try and exact revenge and has
and
a go
with family again.
Yeah, but Claudia won't have anything to do. Oh, no, is it Claudia or Louis who chucks the fire on him?
Louis
does.
Yeah, to protect Claudia, because he does come after her.
Which is fair enough, because she...
Yeah, she did kill him.
Does this fuck shit to get him to that point. And, so he sets him on fire and Lestat is doing, like, these thrashing around on fire, like thrashing up the walls and on the ceiling and just having a terrible time, and they just bolt out of there, manage to get on their ship just in time, which means they were certainly leaving things to the last minute when they were packing up anyway.
That's it.
They just catch a boat, but then it's like the whole New Orleans is now on fire, and like, good work. Like, you don't want to kill like a few, a person each day because you find that immoral, but meanwhile all of New Orleans is on fire because of the stat. And like, pot calling the kettle black a little bit there, guys.
Well, the doorbell ringing was supposed to be the driver taking them to the boat.
Oh.
So that's why he went down, bounced down to answer it.
Yep. So, okay, that makes sense.
So they were on time originally.
Okay, fair enough. But that's why they were nearly late, because they had to deal with the burning Lestat.
But we will add there another bit of vampire lore. So again, in this Anne Rice's vampire culture, fire supposedly kills a vampire, because we assume that potentially the fire either stopped Lestat or killed Lestat. We're not 100% sure, but it definitely stopped him in his tracks, at least. So
I guess, it must kill him only if it burns and burns and doesn't stop. They can't stop the fire from burning them. So if they were trapped, they're in the fire, but he wasn't. So we may still yet see some more from Lestat. Mm. But we are at a point now where I think we should hit a little pause and make this a two-parter.
Oh, excellent.
I would like to know where we can find you online.
Ah, definitely. So I'm on Twitter at Miss Ava Savage, and you can also find me on Instagram at Miss Ava Savage.
Lovely. As per usual, I am on Instagram, Tom Cruise Reviews. I am on Twitter, Tom Cruise Review, no S. And my website's tomcruisereviews.com. We will continue with the rest of the story of Interview with the Vampire next week. In the meantime, we'll catch you next time.